2UE. George and Paul's Crime File.
And today it's Australia's most evil crime.
Retired Police Chief Inspector Gary Raymond will never forget Anita Cobby, the 26-year-old nurse who was brutally murdered while walking home at night from Blacktown train station on February the 2nd, 1986. It is among the most, it's among the worst crimes in our history, if arguably not the worst crime. Tomorrow, 29 years after the horrific event, Mr. Raymond and other retired officers who worked on the case are holding the first public memorial service of Miss Cobby's murder at Pine Grove Memorial Park at Minchinbury. It will be an annual event and all are welcome to go tomorrow. I'll give you details at the end of this. On the 2nd of February 1986, 18-year-old John Raymond Travers, now remember this bloke's 18, and his gang abducted, tortured, raped and murdered 26-year-old nursing sister Anita Lorraine Cobby. The eldest of seven children, Travers was an alcoholic with an extensive criminal record by the age of 14. By his mid-teens, Travers was bashing and raping women and homosexuals, often in the company of 18-year-old Michael Murdoch. By the time he was 17, Travers led a gang consisting of Murdoch and the three Murphy brothers, Les, 24, Gary, 29, and Michael, 23, all of whom had extensive criminal records and had spent most of their adult lives behind bars. At the time of Anita Cobby's murder, Mick Murphy had been on the run for 6 weeks after escaping from Silverwater Jail. Anita Cobby was a much-loved amateur beauty contestant and highly respected nursing sister caring for the seriously ill at Sydney Hospital. When she returned home at night by train, she would always phone her father to pick her up at Blacktown Railway Station. Anita finished a shift at 5:30 on Sunday, 2nd of February 1986. When she didn't contact her father that night, he assumed she'd stayed with friends. The next day, her dad received a call from Sydney Hospital asking why Anita hadn't arrived for her shift. No one had seen or heard from her. He reported Anita missing to the police. The next day, a farmer noticed his cows gathering around something in his paddock. It was the naked body of a woman. Detectives determined that she had been dragged through a barbed wire fence, punched and kicked repeatedly. There was bruising on her face, shoulders, groin, thighs, legs and breasts. Many bones had been broken and her throat had been cut twice. Her head was hanging by a thread, and doctors estimated that she would have lain there awake for many minutes while bleeding to death. 2 days after Anita's body was found, two people claimed they'd seen a woman dragged screaming into a grey car on that night, and a man told police that John Travers, Michael Murdoch and Les Murphy had stolen a H.J. Holden and sprayed it grey. Police raided a house in Wentworthville where they arrested Travers and Murdoch and discovered a blood-stained knife. Travers said he had used it to slaughter a sheep. They arrested Les Murphy later and found mag wheels belonging to the stolen Holden. All three admitted to stealing the car but denied Anita Cobby's murder. Travers was held in custody and questioned in relation to the rape of another young woman and multiple sex offences, including the rapes of 11 people, which included three men. Don't forget, this bloke was just 18. Murdoch and Les Murphy were charged with car theft and released on bail. Police continued to interrogate Travers, who asked to see a visitor and gave police the number of the woman he wanted to see. The woman, known as Miss X, told police she was terrified of Travers, but he had taken her into his trust in the past. After being assured of her safety, Miss X was fitted with a recording device. Travers told her that he Murdoch and the three Murphy brothers had abducted Anita Cobby and then told Miss X how he had killed her. She couldn't believe what she was hearing. After Travers' discussion with Miss X, Les Murphy and Michael Murdoch were arrested. Both blamed Travers for Anita's murder. Travers then made a full confession and gave the whole lot of them up. Travers, Murdoch and Les Murphy were charged with murder. Attention turned to Michael and Gary Murphy. 22 days after Anita's murder, police swooped on a townhouse in Glenside where they found Michael Murphy and Gary Murphy, who incidentally he wet his pants from fear when he was confronted by the police. They were both charged with murder. When the trial commenced on the 16th of March 1987, Travers pleaded guilty while the others denied any guilt. After 54 days, Mr. Justice Maxwell was forced to abort proceedings after being made aware Michael Murphy had been identified in the media as an escaped felon. At that new trial, the corroboration of the signed statements of the gang proved damning as they all blamed each other and it was apparent that they were all directly involved. They had been at the Doonside Hotel on the afternoon of Sunday, the 2nd of February 1986, and drunk and out of money, they decided to go for a ride in a H.J. Holden Travers had stolen a week earlier. As they drove, they saw Anita Cobby walking a short distance home after she had discovered the phone at the station was broken and she couldn't ring her dad to pick her up. Her handbag was slung over her shoulder. Travers and Murdoch grabbed Anita and threw her into the back seat and started ripping her clothes off immediately and punched her in the face repeatedly. They stopped and bought petrol with her money and after the car left the petrol station, Travers and Murdoch assaulted her again at knife point. In nearby rural Reen Road, Anita was thrown into a gutter where Travers and Gary and Les Murphy assaulted her again. All five then dragged Anita naked into the paddock through a barbed wire fence. Then, showing off in front of each other, they took turns at committing every human depravity they could imagine upon her. After half an hour of unimaginable humiliation and pain, the pack went back to the car, leaving Anita barely breathing but still alive. "I'm going back to kill her," Travers said. "She knows all our names." Nobody objected. After Travers returned, covered in blood from murdering Anita in circumstances far too appalling to reveal here, Murdoch asked him what it was like to take a human life. "It didn't feel like nothing," Travers said. Laughing all the way, they arrived at Travers' house where they burned Anita's clothes in an incinerator and took the car away and set fire to it. On the 10th of June 1987, Michael Murdoch and Les, Michael and Gary Murphy were all found guilty of the abduction and murder of Anita Cobby. Travers had already pleaded guilty. Except for the sniggering and laughing from the accused, the packed Supreme Court was silent while Mr. Justice Maxwell sentenced them. There is no doubt that apart from the humiliation, the degradation and terror inflicted upon this young woman, she was the victim of prolonged and sadistic physical and sexual assaults. Wild animals are given to pack assaults and killings. In handing down life sentence, he added, life sentences on all of them, he added, "The circumstances of the murder of Miss Anita Lorraine Cobby prompt me to recommend that the official files of each prisoner should clearly be marked never to be released. All of Anita Cobby's killers will die in jail. A petition containing 10,000 signatures calling for the return of the death penalty voiced the district's feeling on the matter. No such luck, I'm afraid." The memorial service for the 29th anniversary of Anita Cobby's death will be held on February the 2nd, that's tomorrow, between 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. at the Guardian Funerals Chapel at Pinegrove Memorial Park in Kingston Street, Minchinbury, and all are welcome.
Oh, what an awful case.
Oh, it's most terrible case.
Just awful.
I ended up becoming quite friendly with her parents, and they're the most beautiful people that you could ever meet in your life. And
both gone now.
Both deceased.